Bringing you everything under the Disney umbrella. Network 1901.
I'm just laughing.
Are you gonna? Okay.
I don't know.
Are you gonna cold open into this?
I guess so. Yeah, let's just cold open. Let's go. Wipe that clown makeup off. The vanity spread dropped on Wednesday, May 22nd, and it feels like finally. What quote is that fic from?
It's not from a fic. It's from Chaos Walking.
Oh my god, it is. Chaos Walking is a Raylo fic. Okay. Oh, wow. Okay.
Oh,
so,
my God.
Welcome.
Sorry. No, yeah. Okay, go. Keep going.
Okay. I was going to say, well, anyway, welcome to Lipstick and Lightsabers. I'm one of your hosts, Shannon.
I'm Alex.
And welcome to fangirling about pictures that you guys can't see.
We had another topic scheduled for today, but tentatively we had this scheduled because we were like, it's gonna drop any day now. So then it ended up dropping, and we're gonna do our other topic next time.
Yes. Yeah, it got to the point where I was like, I need to just start filling stuff out for this other topic just in case.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't want to be, you know, a fool. It's like, oh shoot. I'm very surprised that these didn't drop like after we recorded, because that's normally how these things go.
Well, we would have seen the June cover regardless this week, I think. So it was just a question of if it was going to be Star Wars or not.
Yeah, and it was, we were all like, the Twitter Raylos, we were really putting on the clown makeup, you could hear the music, we were ready, but we weren't sure if we were going to be fools, but we weren't. We won, and all Raylos ever do is win. We'll never know what it feels like to lose.
I've never felt so validated.
It's great. But we are going to be going over all of the pictures that we got. We're going to talk about the article that they released and a little bit about they did an AMA on Reddit. And we can touch briefly on the video, but I can go ahead and say that the video that they released is just really dumb because all he does is talk about really bad nine theories.
Yeah.
So before we get started, I'll go ahead and plug, if you want to listen to all of our other episodes, you can always find us at network1901.com. If you're not listening to any of our feeds, everything is on there. You can also find all of the amazing art that Alex does. We sell a lot of different types of merch with all of that art as well. And you can find us respectively at McCarter Shannon and at Alex Leonis for more Raylo screamings and musing. And most of the time, we're just reading fan fiction and trying to figure out if it's about nine or not.
We're drawing Kylo Ren in a car.
I just really like that. Andy hadn't seen that, and she messaged me. She's like, "What's the context of this?"
Does it matter?
Oh, you know, it doesn't matter. It's just Kylo Ren in a red smart car. Like, what's not to love? Aren't you sold? All right, but let's go ahead and get into these photos. So I'm gonna let you start off. We got Shooting Stars. That's our first one.
Yeah, Shooting Stars. So it's a photo of Rey, JJ, and the crew in Wadi Rum. And now we know the planet's name is Passana. So it's not Tatooine. It's not Jedha. It's not Jakku. It's a new planet.
How do you feel about it being a new planet?
I was never specifically, I guess, attached to it being Jedha or Tatooine, but I thought perhaps they were going to go back to Jakku because of all the aftermath stuff. It doesn't mean that we won't go back to Jakku, but I think it's less of a, I guess, chance, because going to two different desert planets in one movie seems a little, like, chances are low for that. But maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I agree, because, like, I was really excited about the idea of it being Jedha, just because, you know, in the other trilogies, they always return kind of where they started. So I thought that would be interesting. And I was always like, I really wanted to see Rey go back to her AT-AT and just like kind of, it's like, look how far you've come type of moment. But with it being a new planet, like, that's really interesting. So, like, the question is kind of like, why? Why are we here?
Yeah. We literally know nothing about this planet.
Other than the name.
Yeah. And there's something about the way the sand interacts with the light.
Yeah, JJ talks a lot about how the sand interacts with the light, which is very interesting. And this, he kind of goes into this in the article, but they talk about the magic of being able to shoot on location, and that's what makes Star Wars feel so real. It's something about like the imperfections that you can't recreate, and so like that's why like the prequels look a little bit detached, whereas like the originals, like, they were actually there and all that kind of stuff. I'm very interested because I know that like we had kind of started piecing together like a timeline of how we kind of thought things were going to go based off of the trailer. And I think the desert was always one thing that like we weren't sure what part of the movie that was at. And now that we know that it's not Jakku and we have no idea what's on this planet, I think that just makes that even more like up in the air.
And the thing is, JJ's pretty known for shooting close to in order. And this was near the beginning. Wadi Rum was near the beginning of the shoot, wasn't it?
I think it was the end.
The end? I thought they were in Pinewood.
Ooh, now I can't remember. I don't know, but I want them to like gaze out on the sunset. Not that they can't do that anywhere, but
I don't know. I think they're gonna gaze out somewhere where it's very green.
Oh
yeah, like what's so that fic that we read? The one where they're
falling?
No, like it's like post 9 and like,
oh, and it hasn't updated in forever.
Yeah, and yeah, Kylo's like in, like, he's been sent here like to just kind of live in exile, and Rey went with him.
Yeah, that one is How Brightly We Burn.
Yes.
Yeah, no, that's a good fic. It's a great fic. If you guys would ever like to hear Alex and I just talk about fan fiction, we might make that happen. But let's move on. Unless there's anything else. Do you want to say anything else about this picture?
I don't think so.
All right, so let's move on to our next shot, which is the covers of Rey and Kylo. And all I have to do is minimize my screen and I can just gaze at it. Because, yes, I made this my background on all of my devices. I'll tell you right now, the first thing I thought of when I saw these covers, and a lot of people have made this connection too, was that they look like the Forces of Destiny Reylo dolls.
Yeah.
And everybody thought we were going to get that episode. We never did. And now it's like, are we going to get it now?
Is this the episode?
Is it the Reylo kiss? In animated form.
So when these dropped, so we were told, kind of assumed that the covers were going to drop at 8 a.m. And they didn't drop at 8 a.m. They dropped at, like, I don't know, like 8:04, 8:05?
Yeah. Well, they dropped something else at 8 a.m. that said hashtag resistance, but it had nothing to do with Star Wars.
But the covers got dropped on GMA, and then the Vanity Fair Twitter posted them after that.
Yeah.
So, you had left, it was like 8 o'clock and you were getting ready. And then I noticed they dropped and I started freaking out because I'm like staring at these covers. And I just couldn't believe it. And you were gone. I was panicking. I was like, where's Shannon? Oh my God, like, what is going on? We just got the covers. We're not fools for once.
Well, and it was like, I knew that they were probably going to drop at any second, but I was like, I gotta get dressed for work. I gotta feed Percy. And I'd like put my phone down on my bed and I wasn't facing it. And then I went to pick it up to go downstairs. And I had like, I don't know, like 16 notifications from Alex. You had tweeted at me on my timeline. You actually sent me actual text messages. Alex and I don't actually text. We only message on Twitter. And I was just like, okay, so it has to be Reylo cover. I knew before I opened it. I'm like, that's what it has to be. And Vanity Fair did not disappoint.
I mean, I don't think either of us were expecting to get, like, an Attack of the Clones cover like they did with Padme and Anakin, because that's,
reclining,
like, very, like, explicit. Like, explicitly, like, a couple. And I don't think, I never thought that, that's what we would get with Rey and Kylo, because things are, they're not in the air, technically, but they are somewhat.
They like to say that they are.
Yeah.
It's just, it's complicated. Like, it's a relationship status. It's complicated.
Yeah. So, I think it's nice that we got two covers, one for each of them, but they also make one image, kind of like a pano, and it definitely kind of looks like they're in a force bond.
Yeah. Yeah, because it looks like they're looking at each other.
Yeah. But now, like, these covers aren't, like, stills from the movie. Like, they're staged as, like, actual photos, so it doesn't mean that, like, we're gonna get this exact scene. We might get something with this feel, maybe.
Yeah.
But...
yeah, but what we do get is, I mean, we get a really good shot, I think, of, you know, like, the new planet, which I already forgot how to pronounce because I listened to Knights of Rant and they called it Pasadena, and that's not what it's called. Pisana. We get a really good shot of Pisana, and, like, with the clouds and the sunset. And more than anything, like, we've kind of already known what Rey's costume looks like. We've had a lot of shots of Rey in her new white outfit and her armband, but we haven't gotten a really good shot of Kylo Ren. And I think the most shocking thing is that he doesn't have a mask. Like, we were so ready for it to be like a bad guy cover and a good guy cover, and it'd be masked Kylo Ren with all of like the red veins and everything. But no. We just keep winning.
His hair is beautiful.
He looks like a prince. He looks like a literal prince. Like, it's JJ with the prince curls. Like, oof.
So I'm zooming in, like, on his face right now, and I kind of noticed that he looks very tired in this photo. He hasn't been sleeping well.
But it does look like he has showered, so that's good.
Yeah, he looks clean, very clean, but tired. And
those are different pants.
Yeah.
It's a different tunic, too. The arm guards are the same.
Yeah. The tunic's a little bit different, but those pants are definitely not leather anymore, or leather-looking.
Which is good, because leather's not good for the desert.
Oh, no. These are, like, very airy pants.
Like Aladdin pants?
Yeah. And his scar is a little bit more faded, I would say. Not that much, though. Not as much as I thought that it would be.
No, which I'm really glad for. And we do... this keeps getting mentioned and then redacted, that the time jump is a year. So many people have already have said that now. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, it's a year. And then they, like, immediately back up and they're like, no, it's not. Nobody ever said that. So
yeah,
I think it's pretty obvious. Like, yeah. And so the fact that our characters look like this and it's been a year, I think, you know, that line that we get with, like, Han and Leia, where it's like, we went back to the thing that we were good at. We both did. You really see that here, and I really like that Kylo Ren doesn't look, you know, if he was supposed to be a villain, he would probably be masked, or he would look like not a prince.
He definitely looks 100% prince in this photo, and that's the first, like, word that came to my mind when I saw this.
Yeah, 100% Byronic hero that's getting redeemed.
You would never photograph a villain like this and put it on a cover. Like, I've never seen a villain, like, look like this in any, like, spreads.
Not
ever.
A villain. I mean, like, you see a lot of, like, redeemable antiheroes that will look like this, but never, like, a Palpatine or a Snoke type of villain, which is what a lot of people think that Kylo Ren's going to be. And I always just go back to that line from the databank where it says that it didn't feel so much like a victory, because it didn't. He didn't win. His girlfriend left him.
I love his little cape.
Oh, yeah. His cape is good. I wish that it was a one-shoulder cape, but we do know that it has a hood like Rey's, so that's fine.
Yeah. But this little tunic, clearly, like, I think it's probably magnetized the cape. So that means that he could probably swap out capes pretty easily and have a shoulder cape.
Does he have a cape closet?
Maybe.
I going to get another Cape Closet
scene? Lando is his uncle, so.
Oh, my God. Let's also talk about, as you have now called it, the pelvic flap.
Yeah. It's the exact same, like, okay, not the same photo as the Last Jedi one, but the same flap position. I don't know how to say it.
Okay, okay. So in the Last Jedi, when we got the Vanity Fair covers for that, Kylo Ren is kind of in like a similar pose, except he has his lightsaber, and this he does not have his lightsaber, which I think is also a big hint that like he's not a villain. But his tunic is kind of like blowing up like it is here and like revealing his leg. And that was the first thing I noticed because that started Bulgegate.
Yeah, Bulgegate 2017.
Yeah. And since the pants are different, the crease is a little bit different.
Oh, no.
I'm all thinking, oh, God, now I'm thinking of, like, the water bottle case study that a bunch of Raylos did. Oh, anyway. But, yeah, much to think about. There's not much to say about Rey's, because like I said, we've kind of already seen hers. She has her staff instead of her lightsaber, so she looks very, like, you know, Force Awakens Rey. But what I do like is somebody manipulated the pictures and they flipped Rey, and when you flip her and put her right next to Kylo, it looks like they're standing together looking out at something, which could be a binary sunset. It's just so good.
I mean, you couldn't really flip her because Daisy's scar is, like, on the right side.
Yeah, so, I mean, it doesn't super work.
Yeah.
But it just looks so good.
Mm-hmm. She looks sad, kind of.
She does look sad.
Kind of sad, and, I don't know, she just, like, looks so deep in thought on this cover. It's interesting to put that on the cover. I like it.
I do, too. And that's something that Daisy said about where Rey is at when, you know, the film starts. She says that in the article, that Rey's just more focused. Like, she kind of knows a little bit more about, like, what she's doing and what she's here for. And that makes me think of the things that she discovered in the Last Jedi novelization, where she kind of comes to terms with the fact that she is the Force's instrument and that she can't force anything to happen. She just kind of has to wait and see how things go and see how things play out. So she's kind of gotten this new wisdom. And I think you can kind of tell that from the trailer, how calm she is and kind of that look on her face on the cover of this issue.
But it's interesting, neither of them have their lightsabers.
No, and both of them have a hidden hand.
Well, if you zoom in, you can see the tips of Kylo's fingers. Like... I know, I heard the end of that sentence before I said it. You can...
Just so everybody knows, when I applied so that we could be on iTunes, I had to specifically check a box to say that we're not explicit. So you guys can connect your own dots.
Yeah, so you can see, like, part of his hand.
Mm-hmm.
Under the flap, the like flap that's upwards.
We're back on the pelvic flap now.
So you can kind of see it if you zoom in really close. He's not holding anything.
Yeah. Which, I mean, and again, like, his hands aren't in fists either, are they?
Yeah, it looks kind of like a relaxed fist. Like, yeah, kind of like curled in a little bit, but not angry at all. His face isn't angry. Yeah.
Well, because the only other time that his hands are, like, relaxed when they are zoomed in on, because, you know, hands are a language, is when he's watching Rey before the interrogation scene. His hands are relaxed.
Mm-hmm.
Before we move on from the covers, you pulled a tweet from Joanna Robinson. Do you want to read that out?
Yeah. So Joanna Robinson tweeted, "There's actually a pretty clever meaning behind our matching Kylo and Rey covers, and I'll be so curious to know if any of you figure it out before The Rise of Skywalker opens." So what do we think the hidden meaning in these photos are?
I saw a couple people, when you put it all together, it almost makes the word Nirvana, but I'm not sure if that was what people were getting at with that hidden message there.
I don't know. I mean, like, I people pointed out that he's in sunset and she's in sunrise. Now, is there a hidden meaning to that? I don't know.
There could be.
Does that mean
I think there's going to be a lot of metas about that.
Are they on different sides of the planet and that's why it's at different times of day?
I don't know why that makes me think of Mortis for some reason. Something about, like, Alex is reading Percy Jackson and the Olympians, and so I decided that I wanted to reread those books because I really love them. And I just finished The Titan's Curse, and when they go into the Garden of the Hesperides, you can only enter at sunset because they are, like, nymphs of sunset. And for some reason, that seems very Mortis-y to me, that, like, a gateway would only be open at a certain time of day. And so for Kylo to be at sunset and Rey to be at sunrise, I feel like there's something that you could get out of that.
It could have to do with what they're searching for, right?
Yeah, because there's that MacGuffin that we got a leak for a long, long time ago.
And if P'Sana is near the beginning of the movie, then that would make sense that the MacGuffin might be on this planet.
Do you think that we could start on P'Sana before we go to Batuu? Like, maybe the rest of the Resistance is... Well, probably not, because we know a lot of people are on P'Sana.
But the thing is it just makes so much sense for them to start on Batuu if Galaxy's Edge actually takes place between the movies. And
which it does.
Yeah. And we know that Rey and Kylo are both there.
Yes, and you have to refer to him as the Supreme Leader when you're there.
So, this... I mean... He's not going to stay the Supreme Leader.
No, because that's not an arc.
Yeah. And even if, like, he became a good leader, I don't think Kylo wants to lead. I don't think that's what he wants.
No. I think that he would be a good leader just because he's the son of Leia Organa. And there's a lot of lineage there, especially when you read... this is something that I'll be really interested about if we ever get a Ben Solo book. When you read, like, Queen Shadow and Leia, Princess of Alderaan, and you kind of see how they lead and they govern, and you kind of apply that to Kylo Ren, like, he probably would be a really good leader. It's just I don't think he believes in this cause enough to care to be a good leader. But let's move on to the Knights of Ren with J.J. Abrams. This was something that, like... Every time we got speculation about the Knights of Ren, I was like, it's not going to happen. They're dead. And I'm boo-boo the fool.
But how do you feel now about that?
I'm very interested because, you know, when we got the trailer, and we talked about this in our trailer reaction, that we're pretty sure Kylo Ren is taking down the Knights of Ren. In that scene where it's red with the skinny trees and he's, like, punching that dude with the side of his lightsaber, we're pretty sure that those are the Knights of Ren. And I believe somebody said when these came out that he was taking them down and then they took it back. Because if that were true, that'd be a huge spoiler, because obviously that means he's turned against them. But I like their design.
Yeah, I love their designs. Actually. But this is also P'Sana.
This is also P'Sana. Yeah, like, everything is on P'Sana. Which is, like, most people have been speculating that Endor, or whatever that water planet is with the Death Star, is going to be the third act. But I don't know. Like, all of our players are on P'Sana.
I still think it'll be the third act, because I think this is near the beginning. Even if they start on Batuu, I think they're going to P'Sana next. Like, I think this is where they go, because they're all grouped on Batuu, right? And then they're going to be sent on a mission, and I think that mission is going to take them first to P'Sana. And that's only us speculating that they're going to start on Batuu. Yeah. We both think
that. I like
it.
Yeah, we're both fairly positive that they're going to start on Batuu. Well, we know that that's where the Resistance base is. And I don't remember where we read that, like, the movie... No, it was at Celebration. They said that they were all going to go on a mission together. So naturally, you would leave from the base, which would have to be on Batuu, if they're still there, I guess. But we'll find that out once we start getting books about Galaxy's Edge, I think. So in a couple more months. But going back to the Knights of Ren, what do you think of what we have here? We've got Spatula Ren. We've got who could be the son of Kira and Darth Maul. We've got a dude with a stick.
I like this one that's, like, a gun on his arm.
Yeah. It kind of reminds me of Baze's weapon, just a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. Except he has, like, a backpack that, like, loads it.
Like the Ghostbusters.
Yeah. And then someone pointed out on Twitter that the weapon that's just, like, off-center, like, the middle weapon, it's a little bit too screen right. It was in Dryden Voss's yacht in Solo. So that's very interesting.
Yeah, and it's, if you look at the pictures, like, it's too close to be a coincidence, which I guess it still could be, but I just...
It looks exact.
Yeah, and I mean, that was a long time ago, so it could be that this was, like, scavenged from something, but still, you know...
I was gonna say, or it's from a certain group of warriors, so, like, many of these have been made... Maybe they're even, like, Old Republic-type weapons, and we might see them again if we actually get that Knights of the Old Republic movie. Maybe.
Well, we did get that maybe leak, maybe rumor that it's in the works. I really hope that that's true, and I really hope that they leaked it on purpose because people were upset about the D&D trilogy.
Yeah, I really love that. The Knights of Ren kind of feel like this mishmash of different armors and different weapons. Like, they just kind of work. They've been collecting these things.
Yeah, it feels very... They look very scavengery. Like, if we were to have some kind of villains that came off of, like, Jakku, per se. Like, this is what I would think that they would look like. The only thing I don't like... So... The description says J.J. Abrams, alongside stunt coordinator Eunice Puthart, directs the Knights of Ren, elite fearsome enforcers of Kylo Ren's dark will. I'm like, who's Dark, Dark Will?
He's a puppy.
Yeah, he's an emo sad boy. He thinks he has a dark will. So our next picture, called First Look, we finally have confirmation of Carrie Russell's character.
I love this costume.
It's rad.
It's amazing. The gold, like, or it's like, it's rose gold even. And her helmet, and oh man, like.
It's so stylish. Like, this color purple with rose gold is really stylish.
So it says that she's a scoundrel. And she is seen here in the thieves' quarters of a snow-dusted world. Kijimi.
Yeah, Kijimi. I don't know.
Now, did we see any shots in the trailer that looked snow-dusted?
Not unless it's that shot of what could be a city at night.
Yeah.
Like, that's the only thing I could think of, because when I saw this, I was like, where the heck are we?
Yeah, the one with Kylo killing what we think is the Knights of Ren, that didn't have snow, did it?
No, it was all red. Yeah. I'm still pretty sure that you're right, and that's Batuu, but he can't really be plowing through Knights of Ren on Batuu if then they're on Kasana.
So. Maybe that's Endor.
I don't know. It's like, you can't see it, and it exists in my mind, but they're, you know, I'm just connecting all these dots, and I've got my tinfoil crown on, and I'm like, what does it mean? But yeah, I like, so Carrie Russell's character's name is Zori Bliss, and I think she's going to be really interesting. I'm not super, like, I think she looks cool, and I'm excited that it's Carrie Russell, and I'm interested to know what planet she's on, but when it comes to, like, bounty hunters and stuff, I don't really have a whole lot of interest, so we'll see how her story goes. I hope she's not like a Boba Fett character.
Yeah, I don't think she'll be in that much of the movie. But
no, I don't either. But like, what is she doing?
Yeah, I'm very interested about Thieves' Quarters. That sounds interesting.
I feel like I read a fic, or maybe I just thought of it in my mind, where... Hux sees the tapes from the elevator, and he employs a bounty hunter to kill Rey, just to, like, without telling Kylo Ren. I don't know. Was that a fic? Or was that speculation?
I've read plenty of them where Hux sees the footage and does something, but I don't know.
But speaking of Hux, what do we think of What is that? Force majeure. Force majeure. Ooh.
Okay, so our first look at Richard E. Grant's character. I'm very excited for Richard E. Grant.
Yes.
He just seems like the happiest person on Twitter, and I think he's going to be so awesome during the marketing campaign for this movie. It's going to be so funny. So his name is Allegiant General Pride. It's very Star Warsy. I very much like the name. I saw in that video, in the Vanity Fair video, the author had said that there were like rumors that he was playing Hux's dad, but that's not Hux's dad's name. Yeah, he's not. No. He's dead, and that's not his name. So,
yeah.
Interesting rumor.
Like, I could understand where that would come from. It's just that, like, that comes from, like, general audience speculation. Not that general audience speculation isn't good, but it's just that, like, they already talked about that in the Phasma novel.
So do you think he's going to play a bigger role than Captain Kennedy, or it'll be about that?
I think he'll play a bigger role than Captain Kennedy, because I still, like, from the second that they cast Richard E. Grant, I was like, he's going to be a First Order official. They're filling out the First Order because Hux is going to stage a coup, and they need more First Order officials for him to do that. I was pretty sure that, like, Carrie Russell was going to be one, too. I'm not super surprised that she's not. But Richard E. Grant, just, like, the look of him, the way he sounds, I'm like, obviously that's what's going to happen. So I think that we could see more of him. And there's a lot about kind of the struggle between the new leadership and the old leadership in the Last Jedi novelization, especially in Hux's scenes. So I wonder if Hux is going to stage a coup against Kylo Ren, but then maybe Pride is going to also get Hux out of the way.
Yeah. I mean, I think the coup is even, to me, kind of hinted in this photo, because this is on Kylo Ren's destroyer. Now, is Kylo Ren on the destroyer? Has he been, like, already kind of cooed out of there?
Yeah, it's like, if this is his destroyer, why isn't he in this picture?
Because he's a good boy.
A good boy. What do we think of Hux's look?
Remorseless gaze.
That's his one look, is remorseless gaze.
Kind of looks pouty.
Yeah, I think he kind of looks like a combination of his Force, it's like his Force Awakens outfit, but then kind of his Last Jedi, like, ultra pale, more slicked back. Not as slicked back, but that kind of look with it. He still looks tired.
Yeah. He looks in more control than he did in The Last Jedi.
He does. And I like that he's behind Richard E. Grant, because, you know, we got that shot in The Last Jedi of him, like, behind Kylo Ren, just kind of, like, watching. Because it's, I still think that he's somebody, he's a character that, like, people want you to discount. They want to downplay him. They're like, Hux is a mad dog. He can't do anything, blah, blah, blah. But, like, he's always lurking in the background. Like, he's, you know, you got to give him a little bit more credit. I think he's got some stuff up his sleeve.
I want to know what Richard E. Grant is holding in his hand.
Maybe it's the elevator tapes. They've got major tea and they're ready to spill it. That's what they look like.
So should we go on to Desert Power?
Yeah, Desert Power. So we get a lot more characters in this shot. So we have kind of Finn from the back. We've got C-3PO, Rey, and Chewbacca. This is on Passana again. And I think, you know, this is very obvious. And we've actually gotten some shots, like some, like, actual, like, clips of them. This is when they're going to be on that, like, speeder chase or, like, the pod racing or whatever that is.
Yeah, they look like little skiffs. They're really cute, and I'm excited for this sequence.
Mm-hmm. I really like Finn's new costume.
Do you see his
hair.
Satchel? Do you see his satchel?
I do see his satchel.
It's so cute.
I really like how far Finn has come.
Yeah.
And I like that it's reflected in his costume.
He's so put together. Like, yeah. Resistance put together. Like, really, it really shows in his costume that he's part of the Resistance now. He's dedicating himself.
Well, and I think, you know, he's come so far. And, like, that I think that also suggests, too, about that, like, that year time jump, that he's really been able to, like, kind of sit with his choice a little bit more so than we saw in The Last Jedi, because that was still right on the heels of him leaving the First Order, and he was still wanting to run, and now I think he's ready to fight. Like, he's ready to fight for what he loves.
Mm-hmm. Other thing I just noticed was, I'm not sure, I'm assuming it's a bag, but there is a strap also over Rey's shoulder, over Daisy's shoulder.
Oh, there is. Could that be... So, when we get the shot in the trailer of, you know, what most people believe to be the Death Star in the ocean, she's holding that bag.
Yeah.
Do you think that's what it is?
Maybe.
Although some people have speculated that she's not actually holding that bag and that she's holding something else, but I don't know what else she'd be holding.
Yeah. Maybe I'll go back and look to see if it's the same color. Was it lighter than that?
Yeah, it was. It matched her outfit.
Yeah.
And it does say in the description that they're waiting for the call to action for a chase scene. So it's got to be. So then that would probably lead. So there is some speculation that I'm just going to call it the pod racing scene from the trailer, that they're being chased by Knights of Ren. I guess they could be being chased by the natives, the Aki Aki, but if it is the Knights of Ren, because we know that they're on Pisana, like, that would make a lot of sense.
I think that they're Knights of Ren. The Aki Aki don't, I mean, I wouldn't know, but in the photo we see of them, we'll see it later, I don't see any, like, I guess, like, electronic, mechanical type things that they have.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, the Knights of Ren, I feel like, would more likely have speeder bikes.
It's very, what is that sequence called? It's the train sequence with the Cloud Riders.
Yeah.
That's kind of what it makes me think of.
Mm-hmm. But it's interesting, that shot in the trailer of the speeder, like the speeder chase, Rey's not on the skiff in that shot.
No.
So where's Rey? Because, I mean,
she's,
we see there's
a two-seater silencer.
There's another photo of her on it, on the skiff.
Yeah, because she's on it with Chewbacca.
Yeah, in the trailer, we don't see her.
That could be just two different takes, maybe, but that's kind of a big difference to have a character on it or not have a character on it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But our next picture is called Hot Take, and it's just C-3PO being touched up. It's just, like, a really good shot of C-3PO. He doesn't have the red arm anymore, although he didn't have the red arm in Last Jedi, I don't think.
No.
So, no. But we get BB-8. BB-8's cute.
Yeah.
But I guess this could be a good point to talk about. So a lot of people are saying that C-3PO is going to die.
Yeah, because Webb Grossman said that he knows about one major character death. In the video, he mentioned it.
Yeah. Which I just think is Leia.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say, I think is Leia, because it's the only death to me that I feel like would be very, very easy to just spoil by accident.
Mm-hmm.
By just, because the way you talk about Carrie being gone.
Yeah.
It's so much easier to kind of slip on that than any other character death.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like any other character death, it would be, like, pretty hard to spoil, like, by accident.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that C-3PO isn't a beloved character, but I don't think his death would have enough emotional weight for our current characters.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, like, if Leia dies, obviously that's going to hit everybody super hard. If Chewbacca were to die, that would hit everybody really hard. I don't think Lando really would. I guess he would count as a major character death, but he's new, and most of our new characters don't even know him yet. So it just, Leia makes a lot of sense to me, more sense than C-3PO.
Mm-hmm.
Although I guess it would be very symbolic, because Anakin built him, and if he were to die, I feel like you could say that that's, like, the true death of Anakin, but I don't think that's really the point with the sequel trilogy, because I think they're still playing on that, you know, Anakin hasn't been fully redeemed yet. Those sins of the nameless have not been reconciled.
And we've only really seen 3PO interacting with the legacy characters, like Leia. He's been with Leia, like, almost the entire time. He's interacted with Poe, but we haven't really seen him interact with any of the other new characters, so for him to die wouldn't cause a lot of emotional weight on our characters.
No, I don't think so. I'm very excited about our next picture, though, because it's called Horsing Around.
This is one of my favorite photos.
Yeah, it's amazing. So this is, we finally get a really good look at our new character, Janna, which is played by Naomi Ackie. Her and Finn are riding horses, which are called Orbacks. And it's, okay, so John Boyega is, like, serving some looks, but Naomi Ackie, like, shoot me in the face with your arrow.
So this is our, I guess, kind of first good look at her. We saw a photo, I think, at Celebration.
Yeah.
But I don't think there's been any good quality versions of that photo.
No, it's just been kind of what we've gotten.
I love her sandals.
And this one, really good. Yeah, her sandals are so cute. So, where is this? Can you tell?
No. It's not Pisana.
The very first leak we got was John Boyega and Oscar Isaac in that grassy area. Yeah. And everybody was so sure, too, because, like, there were rumors that Naomi Ackie was there. And we're just like, oh, well, then that's Naomi Ackie. And, like, that all turned out to be 100% true because we saw these big horse things. So is that a different planet or is that part of Pisana?
I don't know. I mean, their outfits look very clean to be like post-battle or like mid-battle. So is it near the beginning of the movie? Like,
I mean, it's also fashion.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Like, and they may have put them in clean clothes for this photo shoot, even if they were, like, kind of dirty by that point in the film.
Yeah.
And I just... Endor?
It could be. That would be interesting if, like, that's kind of where she's at, is on Endor, because she looks like some kind of tribal princess to me.
Yeah.
And that's what I want. I want her to be like the princess or the leader of some kind of something a la Impus Nest, a la Fanry. Like,
I don't know. Like, is there a fourth place? Like, are we, like,
yeah, how many planets are we going to?
Fools with Batuu?
Yeah.
Or is this Batuu?
I guess it could be. We don't know. Because they go to Batuu in the books. They go in Thrawn Alliances. But they really only go to Black Spire.
I don't think they really go anywhere else.
Yeah.
So, like, what's outside of Black Spire? Is there more, like, grassy plains like we see here?
There are grassy plains on Endor. Because we did read that. So it could be there, too. I don't know. But I really like these floofy horses. And they've got
tusks.
They're
so cute.
Yeah, I like them. But right next to this picture is a picture called Starcrossed. And this is Kylo Ren and Rey with their lightsabers in the rain.
Lots of water. Is it rain? God. Is it rain or is it like big crashing waves?
Well, they're wet, so
ocean waves.
We win either way.
I think initially people thought they were on top of the Falcon, but it could be on the Death Star 2 ruins also.
Yeah. Yeah, the description says Kylo Ren and Rey battle it out with lightsabers in a stormy confrontation. The Force connection, what Driver calls their maybe bond, will turn out to run even deeper than previously revealed.
Ooh, mysterious.
But I really like it if you zoom in on just Kylo Ren and Rey. It's very obvious that they're not fighting each other or that these two poses were pulled from like different things.
It just doesn't seem like they're aiming at each other.
Well, they're not even looking at each other. I mean, Kylo Ren could be looking at Rey because he looks so love-struck.
He does. But he kind of looks like he's making that worried throne room face. The one where he stops and looks at her and sees if she's okay.
So that fan art where they're saying that Palpatine is a tentacle monster and they're fighting him here, would he be looking at her worried because he's fighting a tentacle monster?
Well, we know there's always tentacle monsters in Star Wars, so...
It's gotta be. Well, there wasn't one in Last Jedi. Oh, yeah, well, I guess the titty monster.
Yeah.
The Thalassiren.
Does Claude count?
Yeah, Claude could count. I pulled a funny quote about Claude. We'll get to him. Okay. Yeah, but everything about this shot is amazing. It looks like a painting. The lightsabers look beautiful. And to me, it's like, how do you one-up the snowy forest fight? How do you one-up the throne room scene? Well, you make them fight in a storm that looks like Pirates of the Caribbean
exactly, 3. Exactly, Pirates of the Caribbean 3.
Oh my god. If they don't kiss mid-battle, like, what's the point?
So regardless how you feel about the third Pirates movie, has a lot of love and hate, I think everyone kind of agrees that they love that scene between Will and Elizabeth.
Yeah. Who doesn't ship Will and Elizabeth?
Why wouldn't you love that scene? Them, like, getting married mid-battle.
Okay, so this is, like, what if it's 3PO's dream to plan a wedding?
So he's Barbossa.
He's Barbossa.
He's gonna be mid-battle.
I can't remember where I read that, but I know that I saw Amy talking about it one time, that it's 3PO's dream.
Well, MC and Amy talked about it on a What the Force episode.
Yes, that's what it is. Oh my gosh.
But he wouldn't like to wed them in battle because he wouldn't be planning anything.
That's very true. Although I feel like at that point he would have to just kind of take what he can get. I don't know. And that's why, like, if that is Endor and they, like, are on a Death Star piece, like, this would have to be at the end of the movie. And if it's at the end of the movie, like, I just don't see how they could be fighting each other. Because by the end of this movie, if they fight, it's going to be near the beginning. Because then Kylo Ren's going to pull a Zuko and be like, hello, I'm good now. Zuko but then, here.
So, and there's that one clip in the teaser where you see, like, the Resistance guys, and then there's that, like, weird, like, reflection on 3PO that looks like kind of saber, and they all kind of, like, look like they could be looking at him. Like, where does that shot take place?
I don't know. I want it.
I know. Like, we're saying, like, we're speculating. Batuu, Passana, then Endor. Except there's also Kijimi.
Which I don't think... That's going to be a separate plot line.
Yeah.
That's going to be... So
who?
Who's
going on a separate plot line?
I don't know. That's a good question. Because we see everybody on all of these planets. So... Where does Lando come into play? It could be that, maybe. I don't know. Or it could be that she's, you know, the First Order do go and hire her. But I don't know.
Like, to kill Rey after seeing the footage?
Yeah.
And it would be like it would be like Attack of the Clones with what's her face?
Oh my god. That even looks like her costume.
Yeah.
Doesn't she wear purple?
Yes.
Oh my god. We solved it. I mean, it could definitely be like that. Or maybe they hire her to kill Leia.
No.
I know.
I don't want that.
I don't want it either. But, like, I could see that. Like, they try to, like, take down the leadership, maybe. Because how big is the Resistance right now? It's very small. At the end of The Last Jedi, so I could see them thinking that if they took out Leia, everything else would just dwindle, because most people do, like, they rally behind her, like,
so
she
you would
is
think,
the hope.
You think it would be, like, an order from General Pride, potentially?
Maybe.
Or Hux.
I don't know. I think it could be either one of them, or it could be a decision that they make together. I'm not sure. We've been reading too much Ginger Pilot, so part of me is like, no, Hux is a good boy. I'm like, no, he's not.
No, he's not a good boy, but he's a good boy in a lot of modern AUs.
Yeah. All right, well, our next picture is Sunblast, and this is where we get Rey on one of those skiffs or speeders.
So this one, is it the same skiff as the one in the trailer? Because the one in
Chewbacca
the trailer...
Is on the one in the trailer?
I don't think so. I think it's Poe, Finn, and 3PO.
So that would make sense then. So it's them on one, and then it's Rey, Chewbacca, and BB-8 on another one.
I wonder if they got whatever the MacGuffin is, and they're trying to confuse who's chasing them, like, which skiff it's on.
Ooh, maybe.
So, like, Rey's kind of, like, bringing herself out as bait. And potentially Poe and Finn might actually have the MacGuffin on their speeder. I don't know.
Maybe they get separated and then they back up.
And then that's somehow how she ends up jumping onto the silencer if she's, like, split up from them.
But then how does Chewbacca...
He's just kind of watching.
That's what I'm trying to think of. I'm like, how do we get Rey alone? Like, Rey's got to be alone. But that would make... I could see that. It's like they find it, and then, you know, this little battle breaks out, and somehow she gets separated. And maybe, Kylo Ren finds her alone on this planet. And, like, she doesn't have any way of getting off of it. This is just wild speculation.
I also love that this skiff kind of just looks like a theme park ride.
Maybe
like,
it will be.
Like... It kind of, like, reminds me of, like, the Indiana Jones ride.
A little bit.
Like, they could put, like, seats on it, and it could be like that and be really cute.
Maybe they will in the future. Well, our next photo, we finally get a look at two characters. Well, I guess three characters that we haven't seen yet, although we have seen Poe. But we get Dio and Lando. So it's them, Poe, BB-8, and Chewbacca, and they're all on the Falcon, and this picture is called Punch It.
Oscar looks amazing.
He is just, okay. The the gloves.
And the scarf.
It's like fashion. It's like Star Wars, but make it fashion.
Yes.
And I just love how BB-8's poking his head over the side. Dio looks so cute. I know that some people aren't sold on Dio, but the second that they said that he was a duck, I'm like, I'm sold. I want it. What kind of sounds does he make?
And then Lando in his Solo costume, like, I mean, reminiscent of that costume. Look at him wearing his little, like, Falcon seatbelt.
This is something that Alex and I both really, really want, and we'll actually talk about it more in another episode, but we know that L3 is part of the Falcon now, and L3 actually meant a lot to Lando. And I would just really love a short little some kind of nod.
Even if he just kind of put his hand up to, like, where they put her droid brain.
Yeah.
Where they installed it, her navigation computer. Like, even if he just kind of, like, touched it and had a moment. I just need her to be acknowledged.
Yeah. I mean, even if, like, they called... Even if he called the Falcon old girl, like, obviously people call ships girl all the time, but if it was had, like, a little wistful look, you could maybe say that he was thinking about L3. I don't know, but, like, that's what I want. I think the only other thing people have been saying about this picture is that the dice are gone.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Luke took them, so are they still on Octu?
They must be.
That makes me sad. I want Ben to hold the real dice.
Yeah, I don't know how they could write the dice back into being kind of with everyone, because I don't think they're going back. There's
no reason
to.
They did during the time skip, which I don't think that she would, because Rey took the books.
Yeah.
So that was kind of her, like, I'm not coming
back here. No reason.
Although, we did see the caretakers at the end of the novelization kind of pack Luke's things away.
Yeah, like if Leia went. I don't know why Leia would go, though, but...
But it's something to think about, that is for sure. Mm-hmm. But we only have, well, we got a couple more left. I think this next one, though, yeah. it's just a picture of the natives of Pisana, the yeah. Aki Aki.
Like,
and these are our tentacle monsters, yeah, and, now that I'm
and
looking.
They definitely don't look like whatever was riding those speeder bikes.
No.
They're wearing such bright clothing that you would obviously see how bright, like, the robes were if one of them was riding it.
Yeah, definitely. I don't, this looks very, it's very tribal and almost kind of like spiritual type of robes, mm-hmm. Like for the region. So I'll be interested to see how they play a role, if at all, in the film. They could just mm-hmm. be background.
Yeah, kind of like the Tito's, like on Jakku.
Yeah, definitely. But our next picture is John Williams. He is conducting in front of the orchestra. And we have Carrie Fisher's picture up on screen behind them. It's a sad pic.
Yeah.
I wonder if this is... they're doing the trailer music. Because they yeah. play Leia's theme. Maybe.
It kind of looks like the scene from when she hugs Rey, but who knows?
Yeah.
The other thing is I'm, like, zooming in hardcore into, you see the sheet music, right? Like, in the front, in the middle of the shot. Trying yeah. to see if the title is, like, legible of the song. But maybe it just says Leia's theme. I don't know.
What if there's it's a short. Song called Star-Crossed?
It looks pretty short, whatever the title is. Two words.
Four spots.
The something. I'm just making this up. No way, like, it looks like it's two short words. Like, the first word could be the, and then the other word is something else.
I guess we can go ahead and talk about this, since we're talking about Carrie Fisher. There's been a lot of speculation with her and her part. So, like, we know that she's not gonna be CGI'd, although I think that that could be a little bit misleading, because I think that they might have done it, like, a little bit.
They have to, I think.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah. Mostly they've repurposed scenes from The Force Awakens, which is why, like, that scene that we get in the trailer, I think is very obviously could have been a shot from The Force Awakens. It makes sense that it would have just been, like, a cut scene. But there has been rumors that there's going to be a flashback, and that maybe we would see Billy Lord playing Carrie in a flashback, but I don't know why we would get that.
Yeah. I don't know, because then that would be super young Leia. Well, I guess, like, I guess she probably could play, like, a young motherly Leia, like, if Ben was, like, a toddler, maybe?
Yeah.
Billy is pretty young, but she, like, I could see her playing, like...
She looks a lot like
yeah,
Carrie.
It wouldn't take...
Yeah, it wouldn't take much to get her to look like Carrie from those films.
Mm-hmm.
And I could see that. And the only thing I could think of that they would be looking at that, especially if it's like young mother Leia, is if we do have some kind of world between worlds thing, and maybe yeah. they're getting looks into, like, the past. Like, maybe we will see some of Rey's past, and we'll see some of Ben's, and that could be, we can go ahead and say, like, the last picture is of Luke. And is this a flashback? Is
it's
he a Force
confusing.
Ghost? We don't know.
It's yeah. really confusing, because it looks like it could be the temple burning, but he looks like
it's,
old
yeah,
man
it's
Luke.
Old Luke. Mm-hmm.
And then the other weird thing is this is the only photo of R2.
Yeah.
And we haven't seen R2 in the trailer, in the teaser, either.
Yeah, because we know that he's with the Resistance, because he goes... Yeah. It's not like she left him on Octu.
Yeah. So where's R2?
Yeah. I don't know.
Does R2 Unless... just stay with Leia for most of the movie? But then this is confusing. Like, I don't know.
I'm kidding. So, you know, in
Also,
Infinity
look
War,
at the, like, okay, look at the, like, ground. Look at those shrubs.
Yeah, it's like ferns. It's like the ferns on mm-hmm. Batuu, almost.
Yeah.
So I don't know where this is. But it makes me think of, like, Infinity War when they go to Vormir and... The Red Skull guy is there, except maybe now Luke is, like, the guardian of the world between worlds, and he's showing Rey and Ben visions, and this is when he tells them that 1,000 generations live in you
but
now.
Does the world between worlds need a guardian?
No, but and, like, we know that there's, like, an oracle.
Yeah.
I don't know. We don't have enough details. Not that we really want all the details, but that is pretty much it for the pictures. And we did talk about the article as we were talking about.
Like, we wanted to mention that, like, Rose is in none of these photos.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. We were talking about the article a little bit with the photos. And it's, yeah, like, Rose isn't in any of it. And she's only mentioned once in the article as well. And the only time she's mentioned is in regards to who Finn is going to end up with. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's pretty safe to say that she's going to have a pretty minimal part, which is really disappointing.
Really, really disappointing.
But at the same time, like, I kind of get it just because...
There
except
better
I
be
don't.
Really,
I'd rather have
listen,
her than 3PO on this
there,
adventure.
Yeah, I was going to say there better be a really good reason for her not to be on this adventure.
Yeah.
Because what's, like, what's one more person?
No, yeah.
Like,
well, it,
and,
it comes
and, like,
down
to have
it,
her
know.
sit out of it? Like, why?
Yeah, I don't know why suddenly she would be, like, with Connix and other people, but I don't know. Because, like, I would really, like, I'm not a Roslow, but I am, like, a bro-TP Roslow.
Mm-hmm. And they do it really well in a fic we're reading right now.
Yeah, yeah, we're reading a fic right now where I'm like, this is what I want. Like, okay. So, yeah, I have no idea where she's going to be. I know that there's a really popular theory right now that she's pregnant and that... That's some
and
one of the reason why, like,
seems,
Finn is, like, fighting.
Yeah. Unless that's done really well, I can't see myself in, like, thinking that's, like, the right route to go with her, but...
I'm so hesitant about those storylines, because more often than not, when you make a female character pregnant, you fridge her, and suddenly she gets no more development, hardly any screen time, and then normally she'll die. And, I mean, that happens
in
Star Wars already.
Yeah, but Rose, like... If Rose isn't going to die.
Unless they, like, blow up a base,
which I
wouldn't happen.
Would make me really upset.
Yeah,
like,
I'd be
like,
very,
very, very upset.
I would rather them just straight up, like, have her on the sidelines than for her to be, like, killed off screen or something. Like, that would suck.
Killing Rose would just, like, make me so upset in general. It doesn't matter how that would happen. But it's just so confusing why she's not... in it. And it's like, JJ keeps talking about how one of the greatest things that Ryan did was cast Kelly Marie Tran.
So why wouldn't you use
her? And, like, for us not to see her in all this promotion, like, I'm really hoping that it's some, like, kind of, like, reveal or, like, some really important thing rather than her not being in the movie very much.
Yeah, I'm hoping that it's because, like, she just doesn't want to be in any Star Wars
the promotion,
press, but,
yeah.
But, I mean, at the same time, she went to Celebration, so I don't know. Mm-hmm. But she is going to be in Justina Ireland's middle grade book that's going to be coming out on Triple Force Friday, so in October. So maybe we'll get some more then if we don't get anything in between.
Yeah.
I think we kind of covered most of what I pulled out of the article. Like, I pulled some quotes and stuff, but a lot of it is, it just comes down to, like, you know, this whole thing about disillusionment and how the sequel trilogy, like, it's a focus on the new characters and the new generation, which is, I think, something that a lot of fans do struggle with. Like, they say that they don't, but they kind of do, and it's something that definitely, like, Mark Hamill struggles with. So to see it kind of written out, I think, was nice.
My favorite part of the article, though, is Adam Driver's quote about talking about his parents and how they parented him, and about how Kylo never got that self-discovery, like, voyage that Rey and Luke got. And to hear, I mean, not that I ever thought that Adam didn't know the character, because, like, clearly he does, and he puts everything into every acting performance I've ever seen him do, because he just gets so, like, so into these characters. But to hear out of his mouth, like, him talking about about, like, the things that we find the most intriguing and most fascinating and most important things that we like about Benzel as a character, for him to say those things, like, it's just so validating and so reassuring that, like, we're gonna see that ending that we're hoping for.
Well, and it makes me think of, you know, he's talked about before that they've had a lot of this stuff planned for a long time, mm-hmm. and that, like, they approached him with this concept, and I feel like if he wasn't into it, he wouldn't have been like, oh, I don't think he would have wanted to play like a Star Wars villain. Like, there had to be some kind of stake in it.
Mm-hmm. And this is the first time, though, he's actually gone into any detail about what that was. Like, him saying that the weight of the legacy and basically, like, him asking, like, how is he going to develop friendships at all as a kid? Like, things like that, he's never actually, like, explicitly said anything about the character. He's just kind of said, like, you know, we've had this, like, really interesting, like, story for him the whole time. It's been planned out. But he's never actually talked about, like, kind of, like, the intricacies of Ben Solo, like, his past and, like, what, like, basically Bendemptionus and Raylo's, like, all love about him. Like, what we think is so interesting about him is never really explicitly been said outside of, like, a few, like, books and stuff.
Yeah, and I want to read this quote because it really is amazing, and, like, if you haven't read the article, like, you definitely need to hear it. So it says, Driver, who has obviously thought this through with a lot of rigor, points out that, as cool as they are, Han and Leia are both obsessively committed to lifestyles, smuggling, rebelling. That doesn't leave much room for kids. He also points out that, unlike Luke and Rey, Kylo never got to go on a nifty voyage of self-discovery. Instead, he grew up under the crushing pressure of massive expectations. How do you form friendships out of that, Driver says. How do you understand the weight of that? And if there's no one around you guiding you or articulating things the right way, it can easily go awry. Like, this is stuff that we've been saying for a long time, and I had a conversation where I basically said all of this to Dale, which was a co-host that we had a really, really long time ago on the Network 1901, because he was saying, like, why don't you like Han and Leia? And I was saying, well, they weren't good parents to Ben. They let this happen to him. And, like, to see that this is actually mm-hmm. something that they think about, something that Adam has thought about, is just so validating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean that either Han or Leia are bad people.
No.
Like, that's not what we're saying, like, at all. But,
no,
like, for Adam to point out these things that they've been, like, weaving into, I would say, books, because we saw it in Last Shot a lot.
Mm-hmm.
They really pushed it in Last Shot.
And I think that they push it a little bit in Bloodline, too, because mm-hmm. at that point, they actually haven't spoken to Ben in a long time,
mm-hmm.
but Leia is, that's when she's starting to really get wrapped up with the Resistance.
Yeah.
And even, like, with Han, like, they talk about how, like, they're longing for adventure and this, that, and the other thing, and they don't really talk about Ben a whole lot or, like, where he's going to fit into any of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not because they're bad people, it's just that, you know, they had this whirlwind romance during a war, and they both are such big personalities that, like, yeah, I understand how they wouldn't be there for somebody who really, really needed them and probably couldn't explain what was happening to him because nobody could relate.
Yeah.
I don't know.
There's also the Last Jedi novelization. It's mentioned a bit, too, about, like, him kind of crying behind closed doors and stuff and thinking that his parents think he's a monster. And
it's so sad, and it makes me really sad because Luke was the perfect person to understand all of this, and I'm wondering if maybe they did start to form a little bit, like, of a bond, of a relationship, of something where, like, a young Ben Solo felt like he could trust Luke and that Luke was going to be there for him and that Luke understood him, which would just make that betrayal of him about mm-hmm. to kill him so much worse.
And I really don't think, like, I mean, he, Driver mentions the friendships and stuff, and I really don't think he had any meaningful friendships in the Jedi Academy.
No.
I think he had, like, peers, but I don't think he had any meaningful relationships besides maybe the one with his uncle.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And it's, I know, and that's something that, like, you see with a lot of introverted kids, it's hard to make relationships except for people that are already close to you. And so, you know, already knowing Luke and have already been being around Luke, I could see where he'd be a little bit more attached to him. And that was one of the reasons why I didn't really want the Knights of Ren, because I'm like, if they came from the Academy, I just don't see how they would be like lifelong buddies with Ben Solo. That doesn't really fit. So I don't know what the backstory of the Knights are going to be, but I hope that it makes sense keeping
his character.
With this.
Yeah, to keep to his character.
Oh, here's that quote that I pulled. So they refer to Claude as a large banana slug alien. That doesn't really mean anything, but that's just where I got that. And then I think the only other thing really out of this article is just that JJ is just really driving home that, like, this is the end to a 9-part saga and that it needs to come to a satisfying conclusion, and that this is... like, it's about the young generation having to deal with everything that came before it. And I think that this is going to be a really crazy ending. And I do think it's going to feel satisfying.
Yeah. I can't see it not being a happy ending.
So let's move in to the AMA from Reddit. And I didn't really get to read any of this, so I'm going to let you take the lead.
Okay, so I took some notes on some of the questions that I found interesting. I didn't take them all down, but the ones that I thought we could discuss, I wrote them down. So the first thing Lev asked was if Matt Smith was in the movie, and he got no answers.
At this point,
he's probably in the movie.
Yeah, he's either not, and it was a complete rumor, or he's
super spoilery. But why wouldn't they say no? Why wouldn't they say no if he really wasn't in it?
He must be Palpatine. He's gotta be. I don't know. He's gonna be some super spoilery character since they're not talking about it.
Yeah. Well, the other character that we haven't found out anything about is Dom Monaghan's character.
That's true. Yeah, he wasn't in any of this either. Yeah. And I mean, neither was Billy Lord. So, I don't know.
But we know that who Billy Lord plays, though.
Well, yeah, but along with, like, you know, Kelly Marie Tran, like, she's just very MIA.
Okay, so, first question. Do you personally feel that Kylo is going to live at the end of the movie? And so, Lev said, personally, that would be my guess. I think in the movies, at least, we have yet to see someone return from the dark side and live to tell the tale. I would like to see that, and I wouldn't be surprised if the filmmakers do, too. We think the same thing, basically. Yeah,
we've been new.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It would make no sense to kill Kylo off, because then the balance isn't achieved.
No, there's no balance, and it's not... Rey doesn't have a happy ending if Kylo dies. Regardless if it's going to end with romantic Reylo or anything. That's not really what matters.
I mean, I am Bendemptionist first and foremost before Reylo. I love Reylo. They're my OTP forever, but I just want Ben to be happy. So yeah. I want Rey to be happy too. So hopefully he lives. Okay. And then someone asked about Kylo attacking the Knights of Ren in the trailer, because apparently initially the article initially said that Kylo was attacking a Knight of Ren in the trailer, and then the answer was it was an error. So apparently, sorry for the confusion, that was an error.
And that just seems like a really strange... It's strange because so many people have speculated on that. So my only thought is that, like, they put it in there because of the speculation. But then, like, why would they tell them to take it out unless it had some kind of... I don't know.
And wouldn't you... And the other thing is, before this article got published, like, wouldn't Lucasfilm have to look it over?
Yeah. So I feel like that wouldn't have slipped through the cracks. Like, that just seems very strange.
Which 19th century British fiction protagonist do you think Kylo Ren is most like? Heathcliff from Wuthering Heights.
Which he is. Oh, God. He's just, he's a Byronic
Every
hero.
Byronic hero.
Yep.
He looks very Byronic on the cover, so.
He looks like it came off of Pride and Prejudice or Jane Eyre or something.
It does.
It does.
I would love, okay, if we ever got to see Adam Driver in a period piece.
I need it. Like, come on.
Oh my gosh, we were reading a fic. What fic was it that was like, it was a period piece?
For King and Country?
Yeah, is that the one where he's a British governor or something?
Yeah. No, he, yeah, it's like a Revolutionary War era type of thing, and Ben is on the side of the British, and Ray is very opinionated and very much in favor of freedom, and it's hilarious.
And they have an arranged marriage.
Yes. Yes.
That hasn't updated in a while.
No, nothing has been updating. That's why we were kind of getting desperate, and we started a fic that we thought was going to be super cracky. And like, I almost stopped reading it, except you kept telling me it got better.
The Harry Met Sally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, no, keep reading it.
Yeah, because I was like, I know that the time jump is coming, and I know it'll probably get better after the time jump. But right now, I'm like, I don't know. And I'm so glad that I kept reading it though, because it's
the angst really is good. Really, really good.
Yeah, I'm like, basically everything just fell to pieces where I'm at. Mm-hmm. So I think I'm like on chapter 18. I'm really close.
If anyone ever wants to recommend us fix, we both love angst.
Yeah, we really, really like angst. That's where pain. We're at. We want to be in pain. We're not really big on fluff.
Like, I just want like one chapter of happy ending at the end. Like, I don't want it to drag on.
Nope. Nope.
Then there's a question about romantic Raylo and talking about the romantic tragedy that happened in Game of Thrones. And if, like, he thought that would happen to Rey and Kylo. So, Lev said, I talked to both Adam and Daisy about that relationship. I have no spoilery knowledge here, but I would be surprised if they didn't take that further. There's so much powerful feeling and tension there. I hope we won't get another of the Game of Thrones ending. That said, I'm a little unclear on how Jedi can take things, romantically/erotically speaking, so there's a lot that's up in the air. So I don't know what that means, because, like, they can take it however far they want.
I think it means that we're getting a fade to black.
The other thing is, like, we just read Master and Apprentice, and there were a lot of explicit things happening during that time with the Jedi. So I think they can go as far romantically and erotically speaking as they want to.
I definitely agree with you. And I don't know. I mean, if JJ wants to one-up Ryan, like, Last Jedi was a very sexy movie. So I just think we're getting a fade to black. And, you know, Alex and I are both very much of the mindset that most of the material that we get in the run-up, regardless of when you get it, is meant to prepare audiences for what will be seen. And so, like, you know, in Solo, we got, like, a super steamy kiss with Kira, multiple kisses with Kira and Han. We get fade to blacks in the books all the time. So I'm just like, interesting. And they keep saying over and over that their connection runs deeper than they have been before. And I'm just like, please keep saying these things. Don't stop.
Another interesting thing that Lev said about the process was Disney didn't try to censor anything he was writing or take something off the record when he was, like, interviewing.
That's good.
Yeah. Were there any insights from Kathleen Kennedy that you didn't publish in the article but you feel were pretty interesting? Kennedy talked about how when they first got together to talk about planning the new trilogy, they were a bit stuck until J.J. Abrams stood and said, how do we want to feel? Let's just put that up on a whiteboard. And I asked her what they wrote on the whiteboard, and she said a lot of things, but the word that really stuck was delightful.
And I'm sorry, but nobody is going to feel delightful if Kylo Ren is murdered. Because here's the thing. So I guess spoilers for Game of Thrones here, but Jon kills Daenerys. And yes, they were in love and like all that kind of stuff, but they were going the route of Daenerys was going mad, which I personally don't agree with.
There was no character development to make me believe that.
And even if there was, I don't like the way that that story went.
No.
But regardless, like, if we potentially could have a scene like that, and I feel like it would end on a sour note, because Game of Thrones ends on a very sour note. Like,
it's
sure,
not delightful.
I guess. Yeah,
it's not.
I mean, yeah, like, I guess, like, some of the characters end up kind of happy, but, like, Jon certainly doesn't, and mm-hmm. Daenerys is dead, and, like, Rey is our main character, and I don't think Rey is going to feel any kind of gratification mm-hmm. from murdering Kylo Ren.
So. And I wouldn't say that either of the endings of the other trilogy, so the original trilogy or the prequel trilogy, end delightful. Like, I wouldn't say Return of the Jedi necessarily feels delightful. I think it feels maybe uplifting to a certain extent, but also there's a lot of weight at the end of that film, even though there's a party yeah. with the Ewoks. There's still a lot of, like, weight, emotional weight, that I wouldn't necessarily say delightful. Like, it was delightful.
I guess, like, well, and I think the mood of it has changed, too, because, mm-hmm. like, I didn't watch that movie until, like, I had already seen The Force Awakens, and I think that scene with Luke and Vader and, like, seeing Anakin's Force ghost, it's very somber. Like, mm-hmm. It doesn't feel, like, sad in a bad way, but it's very somber, and you can tell how that it's affected Luke. Like, yeah, the bad guy, the good guys won, and the bad guys are dead, and all that kind of stuff, but Luke does feel kind of sad because, like, he had this moment with a father that he never knew, and now he's gone, and you could see how he would turn into kind of this reclusive Jedi. Like, it makes sense that that's how we get to the Luke that we have now. It's good angst.
Yeah, they're gonna get a happy ending.
Yeah. It's always angst with a happy ending is, like, the best thing. Mm-hmm. It's like, rip me apart, but then put me back together.
Okay, someone asked about if they thought the water fight between Kylo and Rey, like, if they're joining forces or they're kind of against each other, and Lev didn't really know, but he got the strong sense that this movie goes deeper into the Kylo-Rey dyad, so deeper again.
Always going deeper.
I'm gonna say something, and I remember that we're not explicit on here.
We are not explicit. We cannot say these things, but we cannot stop you, dear listener, from thinking those things.
And then, were there any assumptions or ideas about 9 you had before you did the story that changed after you wrote it? Lev said, this is very vague, but one of the assumptions going in was that Finn and Poe were going to be really central to the story and to my reporting, and I will say that they didn't come up nearly as much as expected, definitely not as much as Kylo and Rey. What that means, I do not know. I also assumed that I would get to meet Matt Smith, but no.
And to me, like, this makes perfect sense, because whenever they were trying to suddenly pivot and be like, oh, there's going to be a trio or whatever, like, you know, we were getting ready to see a cover that was going to have, like, Poe, Finn, and Rey on it, and then we didn't even get that. Like, they're definitely nailing home that it's like, no, this is Kylo and Rey are, like, A story, and then everybody else is B story, mm-hmm. and I'm glad they stuck to those guns instead of trying to, like, kind of bury it.
Yeah. Another thing he said was when they decided to make the sequel trilogy, they convened a whole brain trust to hammer out the arc. So there must have been a pretty serious plan from the start. We knew that they basically planned the whole thing from the start. They gave the directors and writers some leeway, like, when it came to each film, but the central storyline has been planned. It's the Jedi killer falls in love with the last Jedi. That's the story.
Oof. I love it. These are the stories I want. Mm-hmm. And I'm here for it.
Okay, so I think that's it for the Reddit.
All right. Well, we are going to move into our final section, and this is going to be a new thing that we're going to do in all of our discussions now, and it was a really awesome idea that Alex came up with. So do you want to let everybody know what we're doing?
Yeah. So we have a new little segment, and it's inspired by the segment on the podcast Wonderful, and their podcast segment is called Small Wonders. So we're going to be calling the segment Little Bebos because of Niku's undying love for the aquatic creature Bebo. And it's an opportunity for us to talk about small Star Wars things that we love and treasure within the topic that we're discussing each week. It shouldn't be something like really big. It should be something small and oddly specific.
Yeah, so this is going to be something that we do for, like, all of our topics now. Like, well, we could have done one for Master and Apprentice, but we didn't have a thought then. But we'll do it next week, and we'll keep on doing it if we ever have guests or anything.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess... You want me to go first?
What's your Vanity Fair little Bebo?
My Vanity Fair little Bebo is the pelvic flap.
I knew it.
It was the first thing I noticed, and...
not the first thing I noticed, but now that you told me about it, it's the first thing that I notice every time I see the image.
I know, and it's my phone background, too, and I'm just like, oh, God. But it's just, like, I love everything about... I'm looking at him right now. I love everything about this picture of Kylo Ren, but I just... That was a choice to have.
Well, talked about that. That was a decision. Yeah. It was an active decision.
This is an active decision because you talked about that. Because when you animate, like if you had done it that way, they would have told you, "No, that's wrong."
Well, they'd be like, "Well, why is it like that?"
It's like because it's.
But it's like that on The Last Jedi cover too.
Yeah.
It's a pattern.
That's why it's so funny because it's on
maybe
The Last Jedi cover
maybe that's
too.
A hidden meeting. You know, Johanna's hidden meaning? Sorry. Oh my God.
I can think of is if that's the hidden meaning, then that's why they keep saying that everything goes deeper.
Stop. We're like on the edge of our rating right now.
Yeah, we're like, we're not saying it, but like everybody knows what we're talking about. It's just a water bottle. It's just a water bottle.
Okay.
Just Evian water bottle.
My little Bebo is like very G-rated, I guess.
Good. All right. Let's end on a G-rated note.
Well, I guess, yeah. So on Zori's little outfit, I really like her like two little rose gold guns that are in her little hoister. She has like two of them, one on each leg.
That's adorable.
And they're really cute. And it's kind of like, you know, like you can get like your rose gold iPhones and you can go to the store and buy your rose gold guns.
She's just like, if anybody was an Instagram influencer, it's Zori.
Yeah.
I love it. That's awesome. I bet so many people are going to be cosplaying as her at Celebration. Mm-hmm. I'm so excited. That's one thing also that Alex and I talk about frequently is Celebration at Anaheim, because both of us are planning to be there.
Yeah.
And we're very excited. And I think I'm ready.
I think I went into a funk after Chicago where I was just kind of like, there's nothing happening, and I'm sad about not being in Chicago. And I think the Vanity Fair article is the first thing since then to really, like get that spark back into me for Star Wars.
Yeah, hard agree.
Yeah.
Like, hard agree. Because, like, I always think about that, and I'm just like, oh, this thing's going to happen. I'm like, except it's not, because Celebration already happened, and we don't even know when the next one is. But I totally agree that getting these covers is just like, this is the content that we wanted. I'm ready to see all of the fan fictions that are going to spring off of this. I think one already, no, it didn't. It was just a mood board. I thought it was going to be a fan fiction, then I was disappointed. But I think we're going to see fics come off of this. We're moving into territory soon. We're going to start getting books. Both of us are intrigued by Alphabet Squadron, but we listened to Alexander Freed talk about it at Celebration, and he kind of just turned us off to it because
it sounded
like it's going to be boring.
Technical,
yeah,
like about ships. But when it comes out, and if people really like it, I'll probably end up picking it up.
Yeah, I mean, regardless, we're going to read it. It's
definitely,
it's going to happen. Just like how I'm going to read Thrawn Treason, I'm going to audiobook it
at times two.
Yeah, definitely. And, like, that's what's going to happen with Alphabet Squad if it's boring. If it's good, which they've kind of been marketing it, you know, they keep talking about the characters.
Yeah.
If that's what it's about, then I'll pick it up. But I'll have to, we just have to wait to see if there's reviews and stuff. Mm-hmm. But that'll be exciting. And our next episode's the one that we were actually planning because we wanted it to line up with the Solo birthday. And so instead it's just going to come a little bit late. But we will be talking about L337 from Solo. Mm-hmm. And I know that a lot of people, she's a very divisive character, but Alex and I both really, really love her. And we'll talk a little bit about why, too, because we both kind of have some thoughts about why that could be, why we like her more than other people.
And if anyone has any thoughts on L3 that want to send in your thoughts, we'll read them on the show next time.
Yeah, definitely. You can email us at lipsticklightsabers1901@gmail.com. You can also tweet at us. We are at lip_lightsabers, individually at McCarter Shannon, at Alex Leonis. All of that stuff will always be down in the description of every podcast. But you can also, so every Friday we share a Star Wars story from a woman in fandom. And if you want to share your story, you can email us, give as much or as little as you like, but just try to answer the questions. How did you get into Star Wars? How do you engage with fandom? How has it impacted your life? And what are you most looking forward to this year in Star Wars? If you are unable to record yourself or you don't want to record yourself, you can always type it out and Alex and I can read it for you on the show. It's 100% up to you, whatever you are comfortable with, but we love hearing from you guys, and I have stuff that I can mail you to entice you if that so happens. But I think that's going to wrap it up for our Vanity Fair coverage. You got anything else to add?
No.
All right.
Pelvic
well, then we.
Flaps.
Yeah, pelvic flaps. Oh, Lord. I feel like I gotta go, like, I don't know. It's like I'm sweating like a sinner in church. Literally, though, because it's so hot in here. My air conditioning's broken. That's why I'm hot. But anyway, we'll see you guys next time. Bye.
Bye.